Nice to have you with us as we take a look at a season recap, Rutgers basketball 2020-21, joined by the head coach of the Scarlet Knights on the Steve Peichel podcast. And that, of course, Steve Peichel, we are brought to you by RWJ Barnabas Health. Coach Peichel, how are you, sir?
Well, Jerry, out of the bubble. So we're in a bubble for a long time, and I'm doing well. The sun is out today, and we are in the office bright and early, and we continue to do what we do.
And there's really a lot to get to as we kind of wrap up the postseason and really what was an interesting year for sure, start to finish. I guess the first way to start would be, I know you took a little bit of time off after the loss to Houston. How long did it take you to get over that, being you guys played so well for so much of that night and you come up just a bit short? Or do you ever get over it if you can kind of look back a couple of weeks ago?
Yeah, I mean, no, there's no time off anymore. So I was in the office the very next day. So you're really continue to move in this world that we're living in. But, you reflect on the last 2 years and unbelievable 2 years that it's been. Mark Few won every game up until last night. And now he's not happy. And, one coach, Jim Calhoun, reminded me one coach out of 68 is going to be happy and 67 are going to end the season on a loss. And that's one way to look at it. And he said there was only 3 years he was happy. So he won three national championships, and those were the 3 years. So it's great to have someone like that with their perspective. But I'm proud of our team, proud of what they've been able to do. I mean, this year was as trying a year as there could be for all college sports. And the sacrifices that were made by our players were unbelievable. So I'm just very thankful that they were on. All of them could have opted out too. A lot of players opted out and didn't want to go through the year, and respect to those kids, that did that, but also much respect to the ones that, grinded their way through the most unique season, playing in front of no fans, not seeing your families and doing all the things that they had to do. And we were in a bubble too, the last 8, 9, 10 days, couldn't leave the hotel. Just unbelievable, the sacrifices. So very thankful to the great year that we had. Certainly didn't end for any of us, for any of the 67 other teams in the NCAA tournament the way you would like, but real proud of the progress that has been made here around and really excited about the future.
And rightly so. And I know it didn't end the way you wanted, but I guess the game before that, you go into the Clemson game, you put together a terrific 40 minutes. You guys didn't want to just get there. Your plan was to make it a nice long stay, and you certainly extended it by winning that first night. What was the weekend like leading into the Houston game for your group, coming out and getting that victory on that Friday night?
I think tremendously exciting, for Rutgers Nation too. To hear your name called, and that's been the goal of the program since the day I took the job. And it would have happened the year earlier, but, because of the pandemic, doesn't. And then you got to wait a whole nother year, and you got to go through all the journeys that the season brings to get you back to that same place. And, when we were at the Motor Speedway in Indianapolis, and we were able to hear that, and the amount of joy from, Rutgers fans for 50 years ago or 38 years ago, the last time they won a game, that kind of thing was unbelievable. So happy for our players, happy for, Rutgers Nation, and even the state of New Jersey. Just the support was, just unbelievable. And also to know that, we had a team in the tournament too that had the highest team grade point average too of all the teams that were in the tournament. Like, that's a part of this thing too. These kids are great students. They have to do that job too. So they did the job on the basketball court. They did it off the court. Tremendously, proud and thankful, to my staff and to all the people around the program to, make history, something that not many people get a chance to do. And this year's version of Rutgers basketball did that.
How hectic was it? Because obviously you're at the Big Ten tournament in Indianapolis. Then you have that, you get your name called, and then I guess you had to move from hotel to hotel. Just, I guess, the experience in totality from arriving for the Big Ten and then waiting and then moving to the hotel. What was it like as a group getting through that, whatever it was, 10, 11, 12 days?
I mean, nerve-wracking was the word, because COVID was still your number one opponent. So scared to death from the hotel leaving. There were people in the hotel with no mask on, to getting into the bubble and hoping that all 35 people in our party didn't, you know, like it nerve wracking was the, you know, was the word I could use, you know, as a head coach. And the players felt that way too. They felt the pressure of not testing, you know, for COVID, you know, and so had a lot of that, you know, and then the isolation too, that the bubble brought in the hotel rooms by yourself and that kind of thing. So just a different experience. Can't really, until you go through it, you can't really understand it. But, you know, from the tournament ending to the tournament beginning, just a great sense of accomplishment for a team that hadn't been there in a long time. And the job that the guys did was unbelievable. But, you know, there were a lot of nervous moments, Jerry, and especially come testing time every day.
Why do you think your program did so well with it? I know it's up to the individuals, but why? How come you guys had no issues all season long now if you look back?
I mean, I can only tell you and talking to the guys too after the season is met with every single one of them, you know, sacrifices. They didn't see their families. They didn't go anywhere. They tried to stay away from restaurants. You know, they really did an unbelievable job. And the staff too had to, nobody went to any function, you know, and slept in separate rooms, you know, from your wives. And, you know, everyone did something that, you know, just tremendous sacrifices that went into making sure that we were able to have a season. And we were one of the only teams in the country without a pause for the whole time. So highest grade point average, first time in the NCAA tournament, never having a pause, just goes to show you the character of the kids, you know, that we have in the program and the sacrifices that they were willing to make history.
Steve Feichel podcast presented by RWJ Barnabas Health. Rutgers making the appearance in the NCAA tournament, beating Clemson before falling to Houston. One more on this, and then we'll kind of take a look back at the season and some other things we got to look ahead to, as well as you guys are already, I imagine, starting to plan on the 21-22 season. The Houston game, you know, the last 4 minutes or so, I imagine you've watched the film and all that. And then you watch the way the draw. How much of the tournament did you pay attention to after that game? Or is it, you know what, you got to kind of just flush it out and move on? Or are you just such a basketball junkie, you're watching it left and right, leading into and then out of last night with the national championship?
Yeah, you know, I think you're always, I'm always watching basketball. So if it's the NBA or if it's college, you know, I really enjoyed the women's tournament too. So there were some really good games in the women's tournament. So watched, you know, always watching, but we're here working. So like, you know, if I got home in time to catch a game, I did. Otherwise, you know, I know I can watch some later on in tape, but I'm a big fan of watching all the coaches and the players. And I know what the sacrifices that were made for Baylor. You know, they stayed in that bubble for 3 extra weeks. Like, I know what it was like to be in the bubble for a short period of time, you know, and, you know, just tip of the hat, you know, to those programs and those teams. But, you know, I love watching it. I also know, hey, we played a 2 seed that was really good that got to a Final Four, and a coach that does a great job, and they have all league players. And I know that some of their guys are on the draft board, you know, all those things. So how hard and what you have to do to, you know, get back to that place. And then, you know, hopefully our program took a step, and now, you know, next time we're in that place, we can take that next step. And, you know, always the journey, get you to where you want to be, and you got to go through some of these steps on the journey. And looking forward to, we checked a big one off the list of getting there. We know what it takes to get there. We know what it takes to win a game there. We know what it takes to compete, you know, to get to a Sweet 16. And hopefully that those experiences will help us moving forward too as a program.
And in terms of moving forward, obviously a lot of work to be done now, as you guys have already started on it. The transfer portal has been a huge topic of discussion, and rightly so. What is like a week look like for you guys now? Because the amount of names that are on it is insane, number one. Number two, your team, like every other team in this country, has players that have entered the transfer portal, players that you obviously love. What is the workload like now for you guys as a staff?
Well, I mean, you're starting to plan, you know, and starting to move forward here. We still don't know with COVID recruiting and when we're going to be able to go back out. I miss the days of evaluating, seeing kids live. So you got to do a lot more film work on everybody. I really like our players that are in the program. So the most important thing is those guys. I'm very thankful for all the guys that have played here. And if it was 1 year, I'm thankful for the 1 year. You know, if it's 2 years, I'm very thankful and appreciative for the 2 years. If it's 3 years, if it's 4 years. So you're really appreciative and want to help those guys too. You know, move on and do what they want to do. So the transfer portal is one of those things. It's a part of life now. Every day there's, I think, 37 names the other day. You know, can't possibly keep up to date on all of them. But I like the guys in our program, so I focus most on those guys. And you know, if we can add, it's just like recruiting a high school kid. If we can add somebody from the portal that we think brings, you know, value and is a great kid and wants to come here to Rutgers, we're going to certainly be open to those conversations. But you know, most thankful for the guys that have played here, and if they're moving on, we're thankful for their time. And if we can get some guys to replace them, but we feel really good about the guys that are currently in our program and feel really good about where we're headed. So, you know, and I know Rutgers is in such a good place. We're going to be selling games out next year. We're going to have the rack jumping again, hopefully after this COVID thing goes down and we play in the best league in the country. And now I'm selling something a little different than I was 4 years ago. We've proven now we can play in postseason, win games in postseason, play in the best league in the country. So I'm excited about, you know, having the next group of guys jump on board and continue that journey.
How valuable is that in terms of recruiting? I know you can't, you know, you're not going to go see them play face to face. It's more looking at them on film and things like that. But to be able to say that you've done X, Y, and Z, and whatever the next step is, you want that player to be a part of it. Is that, you know, how much more valuable is that in terms of recruiting now as opposed to when you first got the job?
Well, I mean, I think a couple of things. The exposure that we've gotten now is different. You know, the things we can sell now are just different. I mean, our practice facility is unbelievable. We're selling games out now. We couldn't talk about that in the past. Guys are putting their name in the NBA draft. They're testing the waters. We didn't have that, you know, before. You know, and everybody's graduating and we're doing great academically. So you got a lot of different things to sell. You still have to get the right kids and the kids that want to, you know, believe in what you're doing. And, you know, that's an important part of this thing. But it's challenging times. I think it's challenging times, not just in basketball, in the country. And then you add to it the challenging times and you add to it a pandemic. So a lot of these kids putting their names in, I think one thing you should never do is put your during a pandemic to judge or, you know, just to get through this year was unbelievable. And I think that's why the NCAA gave them, you know, the year back, all these, which is a great thing. And the other thing is I really respect that kids have options. And if they want to explore them, I think it's a good thing. You know, like I think those things are really positive. And, you know, that the NCAA is allowing, you know, them to transfer and be eligible right away. I think that's a positive. And if someone wants to explore that right, they have every right to do that. So I respect the decisions that are being made. Am I always going to agree with them all? I mean, that's not possible. And they're not going to agree with my take on things either. So, you know, those are the cards that are going on right now. And you learn to do a good job with them and be thankful for the guys that you have and be thankful for the years that you have players. Because I think a four-year player now is not going to, you know, it's not going to be the norm. And that's okay.
You mentioned decisions. Ron Harper Jr. obviously puts his name in the NBA draft. Awesome. Wish him the best of luck. And if not, I imagine he'll be back. What is the, at least, because a lot of people have asked me this, and we've actually even had calls at the radio station about what's a timeline or a time frame for Geo Baker to make a decision? As a coach, what, obviously you just wait for him to tell you. How does that work?
Yeah, I mean, you know, players have a lot of options now, and you know, if they want to do that, they can explore those options. And I'm very supportive of that. You know, it's great. Get the knowledge, you know, and then with the knowledge, then make, you know, really good decisions and stuff. But the NBA timeline is different now with COVID and different now with when they can have the combine. So they're still trying to make some decisions on dates and all those things. But you know, kids are able to put their name in and hopefully get on the phone and explore, you know, their options. And I'm so supportive of that. And I want, you know, I want those guys, if that's what they want to do, then let's do it. And you know, Ron is real smart. He's got great family. Gio, same way, you know, all of them, you know, just, you know, make good decisions once you get information.
And last one on this, we'll move on, just to clear it up for me so I understand. When a kid enters the transfer portal, does that necessarily mean he's automatically gone? Does that mean he's got a chance to come back? How does that work for the player himself?
Yeah, I mean, I think players always, you know, have a chance, you know, to go back. You know, again, depending on, you know, their situation and what they really want to do. I mean, I love all my guys. So, you know, I told them that before. You know, there's always a place here for you. But, you know, when kids explore their options, they usually want to go and explore their options. And I understand that. So I think it depends on program from program. I think it depends on, you know, kids. And we want to be able to give them what they want, too. And so maybe we don't have a major that they want. Maybe they want to play in a different style. Maybe, you know, there's a lot of things that go into it, Jerry. There's nothing set in stone. College kids now have a lot of options, and they're going to utilize all those options moving forward. And I understand that, and I respect that. You know, like, I wish I had a lot of options. You know, my wife only had one option, me. She wishes she had more options.
Steve Michael Podcast, brought to you by RWJ Barnabas Health. One that is not player specific. I'm talking about your coaching staff. How do you feel about the staff, where they're at? I think you've been lucky that you haven't really lost too many guys. Obviously, Jay and Brian, you've lost some. Where do we stand here going into the offseason? What do you think?
Yeah, I hope they have a lot of options too. They've done a great job. So we've raised a program that hadn't had a lot of success, and we've done it in all the areas that we need to. So, you know, they're all really good. So I'm sure they're going to be getting phone calls too. And they may tell me, walk down the hall and say they want to be in the transfer board. So I respect that. And I'm trying to, you know, help them if they have those situations that they think they can, you know, move on to and further their career. So that's always a part of it too. I've been very fortunate to, like you said, we've had some turnover on the staff, and we've lost some really good guys. But I've been able to keep some really good guys too, and they're all really talented. I mean, Brandon Knight's ready to be a head coach. Carl Hobbs was, you know, already a head coach and an Atlantic 10 coach of the year numerous times. And Steve Haynes been Division II national coach of the year, and Coach Hughes has been a head coach. So they all know a lot of people. They all do a great job. They probably field more phone calls than I know about opportunities. And if they think those are good opportunities for them, I'm 100% supportive of that. And so that's part of it too.
Let's talk about a couple of young players that we got familiar with this year. Cliff Amorier, what did you think of his first year and his development from when you first got him and as the season ended, where he is as a player?
Well, first of all, for any freshman coming to college, this is your first year during the middle of a pandemic where no students are on campus. You don't go to class. You know, it's probably not what any of them signed up for. You know, with all the added pressure of all the social distancing and being away from their family and friends, I mean, just unbelievable. The fact that they did as great a job as they did getting through the year and being a part of, you know, something special here. And Cliff did an unbelievable job. And you have to, too, factor in that he got injured for 5.5 weeks during the middle of season. So really proud of him. Got better and better, you know, as the year went on. But, you know, you have to learn. You go through a season like this. He's guarding one night Luca Garza, and the next night he's guarding Kofi Coburn, and the next night he's guarding Dante Scott, who shoots threes from Maryland, to, the, you know, all the different things that he had to go through and learn at the highest league, the best league in the country. The most teams got into the NCAA tournament. So the lessons he's learned, and now he's ready to go for next year. He's going to have a great offseason. Now he's got a chance to do some great things. And so really excited about him. And the other freshman, too, who didn't play as much. Dean Reber is going to have a great year next year. I love his work ethic, how he got through the season this year, and the improvements he made physically and basketball-wise were unbelievable. Didn't get as many minutes. He played behind Ron at the four spot. You know, Oscar Palmquist, I love him. He will play minutes next year and can really shoot the ball. He's going to have more opportunity now because kids that have left the program and graduated, I love how much better he got and feel a lot of confidence in him. And then Mawat Mag, you know, is going to have a breakout you know, year for us, and the improvements he made too. And again, they didn't play as much as Cliff, but those guys are very important to us moving forward. And that's why, you know, I'm excited about, you know, our future too. And, you know, everyone talking about the portal. Well, I like the guys we have in our program, you know, and I think they have a chance to, you know, be really good. And I think Caleb too, in the off season now with, you know, being healthy, this will be the first time he's healthy, and you know, the kind of year he had. And thank God he came back and played half the way through the year, because he didn't have to. And Paul Mulcahy went from 18 minutes a game as a freshman to 28 as a sophomore, and the improvements he's going to continue to make. And he had to play with three bad injuries all year long. And, you know, just really excited, you know, about the guys in the program and the improvements that they made. And then we have Jaden Jones, who another freshman that came halfway through the year. He's talented. He can really shoot the ball and score. He's going to have a really good year next year, and he's really a freshman, you know, after being here half the year. So couldn't be more excited about the guys that, you know, are here and that we know are coming back and the types of years that, you know, they're going to have for us. So, you know, excited where we are.
How valuable for a guy like Jaden is that experience, being around the team, practicing with the club, traveling, and even seeing some minutes as well, before a full season that he will get, you know, starting in November?
You know, when we sat down at the end of the year, you know, just, you know, and talked, he's like a great kid from a great family. And he's like, I didn't know it was this hard, you know, like he was supposed to be playing high school basketball this year. So, and, you know, thankful he was here, was able to gain, he's gained 11 pounds in the weight room. He got to know our practices. He got to know Big Ten schedule. He knows the players that he's going to play against. You know, I think invaluable. And when I think about it, he would have been in high school and probably in the practices, not getting as challenged. And, you know, who knows if they would have even had a season too with COVID and all the different things. So, you know, what he got was a great 6-week, you know, crash course in Big Ten basketball, NCAA tournament basketball in the league. And it's really going to be invaluable for him for next year. And he's a really talented, you know, player, but now he's got a head start on next season, where I don't know if he would have got that if he had stayed, you know, with his high school team. So invaluable and great to have him in the program.
This portion of the Steve Peichel podcast brought to you by All American, driven by AllAmericanFord.net. Off the floor, I want to talk to you about Joe for just a moment, because Joe Boylan was my partner for the last 5 years. A friend of the program for sure, became friends, a friend of yours as well. And we got the word, you know, hours really for me, 20 minutes before we went on with the broadcast, before the Houston game, that Joe had passed away. And Joe Boylan, just one of the nicest human beings I have ever met in my life. And I know you had a special relationship with him. Just the effect Joe had on you as a coach and as a person in the years you got to know him.
You know, Jerry, one of the saddest, you know, days, you know, of my life, Joe became more than just a radio guy. I mean, he was a friend. He was a coach. He had been former athletic director. His perspective on sports and on life and on the program, you know, and he knew about the past here at Rutgers. So he filled me in on so much of the history. And just you know, one day, Jerry, this is like unbelievable. He came to one of my daughter's lacrosse games. So drove 2.5 hours. My daughter was a sophomore in high school, to, you know, and I all of a sudden pull up to the game. And I don't go to many games because I'm always working. And this was one I happened to go to. I didn't know he was going to the game. And he drove 2.5 hours each way. So a 5-hour trip to watch my daughter Olivia play lacrosse, and sat in the stands, and by the way, knew everybody at the game. And I'm saying, he didn't go to this high school, he didn't, yeah. But he knew people in the lacrosse world, he knew fans in the stands, you know, knew all my kids' names, followed them in the papers. I mean, loved our players. I mean, our players have come in and told me, I didn't even know he had their numbers. Like, I knew he saw them on the road and they loved them. And but he would text them after games. He would, great rebounds. And like, I mean, the amount of lives that he touched, and I only know in our Rutgers world, the amount of lives he touched, you know, but Loyola and every place that he's been, Truly a blessing for me in my 5 years. And I didn't know him before I got here, but you know, I was blessed to have him in my life for 5 years. And, you know, I hope to be more like him. I really do. He saw the good in everybody. He saw the good in everything. What a beautiful tree. Like I told you the story before we got on the air about a palm tree. He took a picture of a palm tree. I'm like, what are you doing? Like taking it. He's like, it's the straightest palm tree I've ever seen. He took a picture of it. And I'm like, he saw the good in even a palm tree. You know, when we were in Florida playing Miami, but just this, you know, a sad day, you know, Rutgers lost truly like a legend and one of the greatest people I've, you know, been around. And, you know, I'm having a picture done. He and I had a picture of us my first year, and I'm going to frame it. I don't have many pictures in my office, but if I could come in and be like him on days that maybe the sun isn't shining as much, or he saw happiness and he saw sunshine in every rainy day, and the way he treated people is exactly how you should treat people in life. And he's going to be really sorely missed. And I don't know how you replace him, Jerry. You're pretty good at what you do, but I don't know how you replace Coach Boylan.
Yeah, I don't either. He was one of a kind, and you know, he made every day better. I don't think there's another way to say it. He was a joy to be around. And as you said, he loved the pro. He loved you. He loved this team, and he loved being there. And man, I'll tell you, I thought he was as healthy as he had been in a while when we went on that trip to Minnesota, and it really was eye-opening and shocking to me. And certainly going to miss him for sure. In closing, you know, you played a year with no fans. You got some at the end. What do you think going forward? And I know it's not dependent on you. It's going to be what the governor says and where we're at in the pandemic. What do you think going forward for the 21-22 season? Do you think we'll be able to have sellouts at the rack with the vaccine and the way and the direction everything's heading in?
You know, Jerry, I'm just like you. I'm just praying and I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful for everyone that we can all get vaccinated and that solves some of our COVID issues, and that we can get back to, you know, having normal college life. And you know, I feel bad for the college students. I really do. And I have my own kids are college students and our players. You know, I told our freshmen that came in here, and some of them said they loved it. They had a great year. I said, well, if you loved it this year, you are going to really love it next year when you're able to enjoy the Rutgers experience and all the great people that you'll get a chance to meet. And so I'm very hopeful, you know, that we can get back. It's been a long journey, though, you know, longer than I ever anticipated. The fact that we're still testing our guys every day and we're in, you know, headed to the month of May and June and July, you know, like I thought this would be over a while ago, but it's certainly not. And it's certainly been a worthy opponent, COVID, for everybody. And I'm hoping and praying that we can, you know, be in that place next year at this time, but, you know, hope a lot of things go right for us in order for that to happen.
Well, Coach, I just want to thank you for really another great year. The access, your friendship, your professionalism. I really enjoy being around the program. I've loved watching you build what you have built. I look forward to what is to come, and I can't wait to see you at the rack and in the gym and in the practice center in the months to come as well. So thank you for everything this season, and we will do this again real soon, maybe sometime in the summer as we're getting set for year number 6 of the Steve Peichel regime.
Jerry, appreciate you very much, and thanks to all Rutgers Nation for following.